Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. How are y'all doing this week? If you're in the U.S., you know the insane amount of fuckery that we've been dealing with on a daily basis. And I think the best thing for us to do is just to accept that it's gonna get worse. And I don't think that's being doomsday or negative or pessimistic. I think that's being realistic. So my mom told me after the last episode, she was like, Lindsay, it's a lot of politics. She was like, Lindsay, it's a lot. And I agree. It is a lot. But it's not because of anything that I'm doing. And as I discussed last episode, I don't want to be talking about any of this shit. But I feel compelled to comment on it because we are all just on social media being targeted with different political content. For instance, did everyone see J.D. Vance drop the college football national championship trophy? You really have to second-guess videos that are on social media these days, but this one was legit. And I hate to take pleasure in someone else's misfortune, but dang it, that was comedic. Now, I don't care for J.D. Vance. The main issue I have is that he keeps trying to tell women what to do with their lives, and only women. This might be a hot take, but women don't have to have babies if they don't want to. It is not the sole purpose of a woman's life to bear a child. That's why we have reproductive years and non-reproductive years. Men, on the other hand, can procreate until the day they die, which leads to the conclusion that it is actually men whose main purpose is to procreate, since they get to do it their whole fucking life. And in fact, a man can get multiple women pregnant in one day, whereas a woman can only really have a baby once a year. Yet, we place all the contraceptive burden on women, even though men can get women pregnant, like 100 women pregnant in a day. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot, but, and that's a stretch, but my point is we have it all fucking backwards. But J.D. Vance doesn't see it that way. In fact, he said that the sole purpose of the postmenopausal female is to help raise children. Nah, dog. He's also suggested that women can't be great leaders without having kids of their own, and they choose a path to misery when they pursue their careers over having a family. He also said that a pregnancy from rape or incest may be a quote-unquote inconvenience, but it should be carried to term regardless. Wow, J.D., wow. J.D. Vance and other conservatives have it ass backwards. Okay, so did y'all see, in some states, the legislature is passing laws about teaching children about the keys to success? It's called the success sequence. I've seen it at least introduced in Ohio, Tennessee, Utah, Texas, Mississippi, and Kentucky. It's a bill that would require schools to teach that in order to be successful in life and to not fall into poverty, you should graduate high school, get a job, get married, and then have kids. Dave Mann of the Center for Christian Virtue was quoted saying, "The goal of this legislation is simple. When we invest in building strong children, we can save some of the expense of rebuilding broken adults. Encouraging education, hard work, and the importance of marriage and family helps reduce the risk of ever falling into poverty and a whole host of other negative outcomes in the first place." Okay, so I have some thoughts on the success sequence. So, supporters of this bill say that it helps reduce the risk of falling into poverty, and that is something that we all should want, right? Yes, in theory. In a little fucking fairy tale where you tell everyone that they rode off into the sunset and lived happily ever after. Graduate high school, get a job, get married, and then have kids in that order. All right, a few things here. Graduate high school. Okay, I understand that one. We want to support education. I love education. My only question about education is, why are we only allowed to learn about straight white man history? The stories of women and people of color have been erased from our history, despite being an integral part in the success of humanity as we know it today. And as if that wasn't enough, the current administration has ordered that all branches of the government, like the Army, the Navy, the Pentagon, NASA, remove all photographic and written references to women, people of color, and members of the LGBTQ plus community. Like, what in the actual fuck? So it's cute to say y'all care about education, but you don't. You care about indoctrination, which is defined as the process of teaching a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically. Okay, so I got my high school diploma, where I only got part of the education, I only got part of the story, so then you're telling us to get a job. That's so cute. Y'all say, get a job. Do you know how many jobs people have these days? Like, lots of jobs, because most full-time jobs do not pay enough to keep up with the rising cost of living. Call me crazy, but if you work full-time, you should be able to make enough to have a decent life. So I just read a statistic that said there is no state in the United States where working 40 hours a week on minimum wage is enough to afford a two-bedroom apartment. So even if we follow your plan to a T, we still may not be able to get it. Most likely we'll not be able to afford the lifestyle you are saying is the key to fucking success. All right, so I have my high school diploma. I have my job that doesn't pay shit. Next up on the shitty success sequence is to get married. That's the only instructions you're going to give, get married. How about we are going to teach you how to love yourself and how to care for yourself so you choose a partner who treats you with respect, love, and kindness? Also, you don't have to partner up in life. It's okay to not be in a relationship, and in this climate, it's fan-fucking-tastic. I've never been happier. I've never looked better. I've never felt better. And I'm just dancing on my own, honey, loving every fucking second of it. I have been liberated from the indoctrination that I needed to be married in order to be happy. Quite the fucking opposite. Now, I'm not saying that marriage can't be wonderful. If I'm being completely honest, I think I would like to share my life with someone. We would have separate bedrooms and maybe even separate households, but it would be fun to travel with someone and go to dinner. But really, there's nothing stopping me from doing that with myself now. I'm a hoot and a half. I'm a good time gal, and I make myself laugh every damn day. Truly, though, I think that the majority of women still want to get married, but they are not going to settle for less than what they deserve. It's the men who are sad when they are lonely. J.D. Vance and company, how about you talk to the men and tell them what to do instead of telling women what to do? Because we're good. Talk to your boys. And the final step in the successful sequence is having children. But uh-oh, my job and my husband's job don't pay us enough to have a child. A 2023 study by LendingTree estimated that the average annual cost of raising a child has climbed to $21,681, bringing the total estimated cost to $389,000 over 18 years. The annual cost to raise a child has increased by 19% since 2016. Shit. Now let me think back to 2016. Whew, 2016 was a tough year. We lost a lot of greats that year, like Alan Rickman, Gene Wilder, Muhammad Ali, Leonard Cohen, Alan Thicke, George Michael, and Carrie Fisher. all left this mortal realm in 2016. Not to mention David Bowie and Prince. Also in 2016, Hamilton became a sensation. The gorilla Harambe also died. I'm sure there were other major events. 2016 was a wild fucking year. And although I can't think of anything else that happened in 2016, ever since 2016, the annual cost to raise a child has risen by almost 20%. That ain't great. People are struggling, y'all. I saw a statistic that said 60% of Coachella's attendees used a payment plan for their tickets. And you know, people are looking down on this, but what's wrong with that if the payment plan fits into their budget? Like, those payment plans are 0% interest if you make the payments. People need to live. They need joy in their life. And if they have to budget for that festival ticket, then damn it, I say do it. People aren't making money like they used to due to the rising cost of living, so they aren't having kids. And then they have to hear J.D. Vance saying he wants more babies in the United States. Like, with all due respect, fuck all the way off. There's all kinds of statistics out there about the divorce rates. I did a little research, and the most accurate statistic that I feel is out there is that 43% of new marriages end in divorce, and about 50% of people who get married again end up divorced. But of the divorces in the U.S., 70% of the divorces are filed by women. So, why are women filing for divorce more than men? They are sick of the bullshit. And I can't remember if I talked about this on season one, but oh well, I'm going to talk about it again. There are three main reasons why women initiate divorce more often than men. Number one, women are more likely to feel held back by the marriage. Even though women are working more than they ever have, and make up over half of the workforce in the United States, they are still seen as primarily responsible for domestic duties, even though they have more on their plates with their careers. Working wives are still expected to do the bulk of the housework and the bulk of the childcare. Also, studies have shown that husbands are not supportive when their wives are highly successful in their careers. I'm looking at you, Craig Conover. A 2019 study published by the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin found that husbands reported, quote-unquote, psychological distress if their wives made more than 40% of the household income in a marriage. And y'all know it's more than that. You know my ladies out there are the breadwinners. So yeah, if a woman is married and has high expectations and responsibilities in her career and high expectations and responsibilities at home and does not have the support from her husband, she may find the marriage to not be in her best interest anymore. Psychological distress. Give me a fucking break. Ugh. Be part of the solution. Be part of the solution. Be part of the solution. I struggle back and forth on the men and women debate because on the one hand, men have kept us down for so long and are still doing so in the present time. But at the same time, I know that unless we help them, it's not going to get better. Or unless we all work together, it's not going to get better. But I'm working on it. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to be part of the solution. Okay. Number two. Madison and I just watched Austin Powers. Okay, reason number two why women initiate divorce more is because women often take on more of the emotional burden. Like, duh. So communication is key for any relationship to be successful, and especially for a marriage to be successful. Generally, men are not taught how they can communicate and process emotions. And as a result, women in marriages often will take on more of the emotional responsibilities, which in a lot of cases means that the woman is the sole emotional support system for the entire family. Can any of my ladies out there relate to this? This heavy burden obviously takes a toll on a person mentally, physically, and emotionally. Without emotional support from husbands, wives feel alone and without a source of support in the marriage. So, who can really blame women for not wanting to be in marriages? Marriage tends to greatly benefit men, but it does not provide the same benefit for women. The final reason why women initiate divorce more is that women no longer tolerate consistent, unacceptable behavior. So because women used to not be in the workforce, they had no way of earning money or supporting themselves and were forced to rely more on their husbands for financial security, even at the expense of abusive and negligent behavior. That is not the case today. Women are done putting up with the bullshit. We are done with the infidelity, physical abuse, emotional abuse, substance abuse, lack of intimacy, lack of commitment. The list goes on and on. And I hear people say, oh, no one stays together anymore. Back in the good old days, people just stayed together. They made a commitment. They stayed together. No, boo-boo, no. Piper, no. Women were not in the workforce like they are now and could not support themselves. This is the first time in fucking history that women have been able to have a real choice in how they run their lives. Ladies now are saying enough with the bullshit. Like, cue Shania Twain saying, let's go, girls. I swear, when I hear the beginning of that song, I could kick a door off its hinges. Women are strong, and not just mentally strong, physically strong. I realize that there are biological differences between men and women, but we have all heard of the story of a woman lifting a car to save her children. And then there was a woman who wrestled a polar bear to save her sons. This phenomenon is called hysterical strength, and it usually happens when people are in life or death situations and display extreme physical strength or superhuman strength. So don't fuck with us. Even though women were technically allowed to open a bank account, many banks in the 1960s went against the law and would only give credit cards and bank accounts to women only with their husband's signature and would outright refuse to issue credit cards and bank accounts to an unmarried woman. Because of that discrimination, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act was passed in 1974 to prohibit credit card discrimination on the basis of gender. We have Ruth Bader Ginsburg to thank, in part, for that piece of legislation. And then, in 1988, Ronald Reagan signed the Women's Business Ownership Act, creating government support for women business owners and eliminating the requirement of male co-signers on loans for female entrepreneurs. So yeah, this is the first time in history that women can actually be on their own, and they are choosing to do so voluntarily. Despite the public pressure to get married and have kids, despite the damn vice president saying, I want more babies in the United States. You know what, JD? I want more peace in the United States. How about we start there? Because the way your boy is running this country isn't really inspiring a lot of confidence in women to want to get married and have children. And as for the sequence of success, while I agree that it would benefit middle school children and high school children to teach them how to be successful in life, I do not think this sequence of success is going to do the trick. It feels like some bullshit attempt to do good, but like, haven't y'all already been preaching this shit? Why are we still trying to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results? Maybe we should teach kids how to do their taxes. Maybe teach them how to prepare to be parents, how to prepare to be in a partnership, or maybe how to be healthy, how to regulate their emotions, how to regulate their nervous system. I feel like this legislation is performative and won't really do what it's intended to do. Also, can someone please let Elon Musk in on this success sequence? He's had, I believe, one, if not more, children outside of marriage. And I also read a report that all of his children were allegedly conceived via IVF. That seems strange to me. And after you let Elon Musk know about the success sequence, I guess I need to be informed as well. And so does Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Matthew McConaughey, Madonna, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, Eric Clapton, Kourtney Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Andy Cohen, Kristen Bell, Dwayne Wade, Clint Eastwood, Leonardo damn Da Vinci. I mean, the list just goes on and on. I think the real issue is that we teach men and women drastically different things. Like, case in point, Summer House, Jesse and West, the dynamic duo. Both were attracted to women, Lexi and Sierra, respectively. Both women tell both men that they are looking for a relationship and don't want to sleep with someone unless they are in a relationship. Both men proceed to love bomb and lead them on and sleep with them, only to change their minds later. We are not teaching men to be in relationships. We're not teaching them to aspire to marriage. So it's not women who aren't interested in getting married. It's men. Talk to your boys. We've been wanting marriage since we were children. That's mainly to do with the wedding, but we've already been hooked on getting married. We want it. We want our special day. And we've been out here ignoring red flags so we can get the special day. The problem now is that women are having trouble finding men who are actually suitable for marriage. And as far as poverty goes, do you not think all the unhoused people living on the street don't have families? They do. Family and marriage ain't the answer to everything. This is not addressing the problem at all. I think there are good intentions behind the bill, but it's not realistic. Okay, so I had someone tell me recently, we can definitely tell which side you're on. Okay, there aren't sides. That's my issue with this current two-party system. I'm not on one side. There are things that I agree with, and there are things that I don't agree with. My biggest issue with the current administration is the complete disregard of our Constitution and our democratic system of checks and balances. And honestly, the incompetence is on full display. Like, Trump implemented these tariffs, right? It's been a huge deal, a major talking point. Everyone now has way more information about tariffs than they ever needed to know. And now it is being reported by news outlets that there's actually no mechanism for collecting tariffs at the ports. WTF. This guy is just flying by the seat of his pants, disregarding the Constitution and the judicial system left and right. Pun intended. For instance, the man in Maryland I spoke about last time, legal resident of the United States, he has a family, was mistakenly taken and deported to an El Salvador prison. This was a mistake by the Trump administration. And a Maryland federal judge ordered that the man be returned because he was wrongfully deported. The case was taken up to the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court in all the land. And the Supreme Court ruled in a 9-0 ruling for the government to facilitate the return of Kilmar Garcia. And you know the Trump administration? Not complying with that order. Do you know how hard it is to get all of the Supreme Court justices to agree on something? And they all agreed. The Supreme Court that was handpicked by President Trump. And I also just heard that the Trump administration filed a briefing that if El Salvador ever lets Garcia out of the prison he was wrongfully sent to, that Garcia can never return to the United States and will be detained if he ever tries to re-enter the country. So the argument is that Garcia is a member of a gang, but there has been no evidence introduced to support that argument. There's a major hearing today, so we will see what happens. So yeah, you're always going to know where I stand, and I stand for democracy, and I stand for freedom. The two-party system definitely sucks, but an even bigger problem is that Trump wants to go after anyone who disagrees with him. So if you're a reasonable, objective thinker and are like, hey, this doesn't seem like democracy. Seems a bit like a dictatorship where everyone has to abide by the whims of one man. The two-party system doesn't allow for critical thinking. It's groupthink. One group thinks this, the other group thinks that. We need to break out of these systems. I will say that I am impressed at how many people are standing up. How many people are going to town halls in their community and holding their elected officials accountable? A lot of people are unhappy with what is going on. Something that is kind of scary that people are talking about is the possibility of Trump deploying the military to the southern border of the United States this weekend. So, we all know that DJT signed a slew of executive orders when he took office. One of those orders, signed on January 20th, declared a national emergency along the southern border of the United States. The order stated that within 90 days, or April 20th, which is this Sunday, within 90 days, the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security shall submit a joint report to the President about the conditions at the southern border of the United States and any recommendations regarding additional actions that may be necessary to obtain complete operational control of the southern border, including whether to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807. Oh, God. This means that there is a possibility, albeit small, but a possibility that military forces could be deployed on April 20th. I mean, why? Why, God, why? Not on Easter Sunday. And this year, it's a sacred Sunday because it's also the National Weed Holiday 420, aka April 20th. I want to talk about one more issue and then I'll get off politics. Again, I don't want to be talking about this shit, but I feel an obligation to. As an attorney, as a mom, and as a United States citizen. So let's talk some money, honey. I accepted back in December, January, that Trump needed to win the election so that he could reveal exactly how incompetent and how vicious he actually is and why we should never go down this path again. Even though what Trump is doing is illegal and unconstitutional, these actions are revealing so much about our federal government that I did not know. For instance, I did not know that so many private companies and organizations receive money from the government. A study conducted by the Cato Institute found that the government spends $181 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year on aid to businesses. $181 billion every year to businesses. Again, why is it acceptable for private businesses to receive so much money from the government, but our government is so against providing money to help its actual citizens to get health care, to have a decent place to live? The government does not exist for private businesses. It exists for the people. Damn it. Got me all worked up today. Okay, let's talk outer space. People are praising the all-female flight crew that went to space for 11 minutes and came back. Earlier this week, Jeff Bezos' spacecraft, Blue Origin, sent an all-female crew to space for 11 minutes. The team consisted of Lauren Sanchez, who is engaged to Jeff Bezos. Is it Bezos? Bezos? Whatever. Jeffy. Also on the flight was Gayle King, Oprah's BFF, and Katy Perry. The women gave a press conference right after the 11-minute flight and said that they collected data while they were in space for 11 minutes, and that this data is going to help research and progress. You know, I hope that's the case, but from where I'm sitting, it looked hella performative. But I would love to be proven wrong. Also, this isn't the time to be going to fucking space. Our country is literally crumbling on the daily. Someone told me that Katy Perry sang What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong in space, but I couldn't find any audio from that performance. And I just don't know. I don't know. It seems so ironic to be saying that while we're having so much turmoil on this fucking planet. So yeah, it seemed pointless. And I thought the goal of the Blue Origin spacecraft was to sell seats to people as a space tourism thing. It just seems odd that we are trying to do more space exploration for tourism when the Earth could really use that money and attention. The women at the press conference said that people are expressing criticism of their journey. And to their critics, they would say, you just don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't get what they're doing. Okay, how about you tell us what we should be getting? Like, do you get it? Because you say this mission was meant to inspire women to be involved in aerospace work and engineering, but we already have women astronauts. You're not doing anything that's novel here. Maybe these ladies who went to space aren't aware that we have women astronauts because, well, you know, let's just looky here. Yep. The women who already work for NASA are being fired and having their bios scrubbed from the website because Trump's anti-DEI executive order. So yeah, this expensive flight was masked as a win for women, but in reality, this was an expensive advertisement for people who want to book tourism flights on Blue Origin. Let's move on. As you all know, I suffer from anxiety. It's my anxiety. That's Doechii. I love Doechii. And she has a song called Anxiety, and it's amazing. So often anxiety stems from fear or uncertainty. And I have been living in a place of fear for a very long time. Fearful that people won't like me, fearful my partner won't like me or will be mad at me or will leave me, fearful that people won't respect the work I do since I left law, fearful that my friends won't talk to me anymore if I say how I'm feeling, fear of judgment from everyone for putting myself out on a podcast and posting social media videos of myself. So many fears, so little time. I recently had a lot of my fears realized. A lot of my fears have come true, and it wasn't as bad as I was thinking it was going to be. Okay, so like posting videos of yourself on social media is fucking hard. It took me a whole year to publish an episode of the podcast and promote it on social media because I was so terrified of what people would say. Well, I was recently called cringe by someone. If this had happened a few months ago, I don't know if I would have responded the same way. So for those who don't know, being called cringe is not a compliment. Cringe means to have an inward feeling of acute embarrassment or awkwardness. But when it actually happened, when someone actually told me that I was cringe, I didn't feel any type of way about it. I was like, okay. Then I'm cringe. I was so surprised by how unaffected I was by this. I realized that this had been one of my greatest fears and it had come true. But I was still standing. I was still happy. I was still in a great position in my life and happy about it. It almost felt liberating to have this fear come true and then realize that it wasn't even a big deal to me. Also, I recently told a friend how I was feeling in the relationship and was met with ghosting, another fear of mine, that my friends will abandon me. And so it happened, and I was like, okay, I can live with this. I'm actually fine. Well, don't get me wrong, there was about a week where I was very sad and mourned the relationship, but after that I was like, okay, well, now I can stop holding space for this relationship to improve and can use that energy somewhere else. It felt freeing, like a weight lifted. Basically, my whole life, I have been afraid that people aren't going to like me, which led to some pretty heavy people-pleasing tendencies. And now, I just don't fucking care. I've heard my entire life that I'm an intimidating person, especially to men. And I have no idea why I would come off as intimidating, but that is feedback that I've gotten my whole life. And it wasn't until recently that I came to the conclusion that men aren't intimidated by me. Boys are. And we have a society full of grown little boys who just want a mom. So if anyone doesn't like me, I don't give a fuck. For the first time in my life, I really like me, and my opinion is the only opinion that matters. So if I can impart any wisdom to my listeners, it would be to try and do away with your fears. Try and let go of them. Because even if they come true, you're most likely going to be just fucking fine. That's a wrap for this episode of The Rich Room. Listen, I know the world is scary. I know we are living in a dark time. But the most rebellious thing we can do is to not succumb to fear and to express joy and have fun and enjoy this beautiful life that we have. Follow The Rich Room podcast on Instagram, and you can also follow me at Love with Lindsay. Happy Easter and happy 420 to all of my lovers of the jazz cabbage. Hey, smoke weed every day. Bye, y'all.